The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Apparently, it's a tradition here at St. James's to give the fire and brimstone text to the seminarian. I don't know if you remember my first one, but it was another one just like this. Today's texts are full of images of nature. Images of promise and images of judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. I wonder if you have ever participated in some way in the harvesting of grain or in the threshing and winnowing of grain. When I was a camp counselor before I went to seminary down in the Diocese of Arkansas, one of the things they have been doing over the last 10 years is trying to think of ways to connect their faith formation program with sustainability, with food, and with farming practices. And so one of the things they had is they had grown, dedicated at least 15 acres across the highway from their camp to growing various crops, one of which was a small wheat farm. And so one day we provided this opportunity for high schoolers to gather together the heads of grain and to thresh the grain and to winnow the grain, and then eventually we milled that same grain and turned it into the bread that we would eat on Friday at our weekly Eucharist. It was this beautiful symbol of connecting our work in camp really materially with our worship and with our dedication to God. And so when I heard today's text, I immediately thought of that memory. When you thresh and winnow grain by hand, you have to really press press the grains and press the heads until the grains drop into the basket. And then you take the basket and you're tossing it in the air. It's a really inefficient process for by hand. And you toss the grains and the chaff blows away with the wind. And you're left with that which is most valuable and that which you really want. Let all that is a distraction from God's goodness in us be blown away. As we are caught into this process, we turn to the one who threshes and winnows and mills us. Sometimes this text is used to, in certain theologies, especially those that I grew up with in evangelical tradition, to say, you know what, we're the grain in here. We're the ones who have been purified by God and chosen to be God's special people. And all those ones out there, those are the ones with the chaff, and they'll be burned away with unquenchable fire. But I don't think that's what the gospel is offering us. Instead, what the gospel is challenging us to do and think about is to turn to the one who threshes all of us and calls us and purifies us and makes us into that bread of life. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Over the last few weeks and months, I've been hearing lots of calls to unity, calls to end division and focus on the things that unite us, calls to peace and reconciliation. Now, these are important values. These are goals to strive for. But we need to really listen to the gospel today. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. If our reconciliation comes without justice, without the threshing of our hearts by God, without repentance, then it is a false unity that we will achieve. Reconciliation on a true level requires that we turn to the one who makes us whole and that we recognize the source of our being. Our desires and longings for peace, for unity, for reconciliation, these are all good. But they are the goal of this lifelong process as individuals and as a community to name those ways in which we are still caught up in the process of being winnowed and chaffed. We have the chaff still on us. We are not yet freed from sin. When I was baptized in college, I grew up in a tradition that we don't know whether or not we did the right kind of baptism, so we're going to work with that. So I had a conditional baptism in college. And when I was baptized at the Easter Vigil, my priest gave me this wood print image. And it just had a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer that said, "To be a Christian is to share God's suffering in the world. To be a Christian is to share in God's suffering in the world. To be a Christian is to turn to the one who threshes us, who calls us and purifies us, and will make us into that bread of life. To place ourselves in the place of death, in the place of suffering. To be a Christian is to risk all that we have and to be vulnerable with God." Now, this is not to say that we are not called to a life of joy. We are called to only suffer and be miserable and share in that misery. No, not at all. But it's to recognize that our joy is found in the midst of that suffering. In the midst of our own suffering, in the midst of the suffering of others, in the friendship that can hold us together and sustain us despite suffering. And that's why we have to remember the promise of the prophet. We're not left with just the threshing and the winnowing, but we are promised that we shall be in that place where the child shall dance with the snakes, that the lion will lie with the lamb, the wolf will lie with the lamb, that we are promised to be with the one who made us all and calls us to a life of flourishing. It is for this reason that we are baptized into the death and resurrection of our Lord. Our rituals point us to this contradiction of our faith, that we share in God's suffering with the world and we are promised and given glimpses of resurrection and healing. That we gather around the table and we eat that bread and wine, that body and blood, that remind us and draw us into that process of restoration in God. We are threshed and winnowed and milled and baked to become the body of Christ and the bread of life. God is promising us life abundant in this process. And it is our call to reach back out and answer and to say, yes. To say and show with our actions and our words that we will bear fruit worthy of repentance. To be a Christian is to share in God's suffering in the world. So as we gather today, I invite you to reflect on this in this season of Advent, to prepare our hearts, our homes, and our communities to be places where we can glimpse this process, glimpse this act of God in the world to make us all whole in Christ. Amen.